Take your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at the first five verses in just a moment. It's the last of our series on honor. As we've repeated often, there's a lot more that the Scripture says about honor on every single one of these topics. So it's something we need greatly to be studying on our own and applying in our lives. As we look now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the first five verses, it says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new creation. And thank you that you give each one who believes in you a new heart, a new man, a new life. Lord, help us to learn this evening about honoring that great gift that you've given to us and giving it the place that and the importance that you put upon it, seeing that importance in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this afternoon as I was studying, sometimes I feel bad or almost kind of silly only bringing up references that everybody knows. And just a hint, this evening, every single one of these references that we're going to look at, we all are or should be well familiar with them. But I got thinking about it, and you can't escape them. I mean, we're familiar with them because they're necessary. And if we don't go over them from time to time, we will forget. That is our nature. And so putting them together in this context, looking at honoring our new man. We've been looking through the honor series, honoring God, honoring government, honoring each other, honoring the church, the Bible, and our parents, the aged, and so forth. And we live in a culture where everybody around us is talking about self-esteem, self-worth, self. And often as Christians, we rightly turn from that, but we often go to the extreme. And while in our culture, we're so ingrained with ourselves, we do seek our own way. But the whole idea of self things, We try to shun those things. And that is the world's idea of self-worth. We are to shun. But we also need to remember and to realize that as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're a new creation. We're a new man. We're who we are inside is not who we used to be. Is not who our flesh still wants to be. And our new man, the Bible says we are to honor. We are to increase the worth of our new man to us. We are to increase its place in our life. You see, because we still are prone to walk in our flesh, in our natural man, that which we should not be honoring. We're to step aside from ourselves and look at the new man and place the worth that God sees in it. We're to place equal worth in ourselves for this gift that God has given us. First of all, to do that, in verse 4 of our text, it says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This vessel that is spoken of is our new man. We're to know how to possess this vessel, this new man, in sanctification and honor. It's not something that we just get the new man and this is great, we've got our free ticket to heaven. Hopefully the new man will rub off on us and we'll trump the old man and we'll just come out looking like a good Christian. No, look at the verse here. It says that you know, you have to take knowledge, you have to think about to an end of using what you've learned, right? That's knowledge. You're gaining information to the end you might use it. Using it as wisdom. That every one of you should know how to possess. Now, here's a very interesting word in this context. While in our flesh we're prone to take the new man and just figure, you know, we're going along for the ride till we get to heaven. It's just part of us now. We don't really have to think about it. It has influence now. No. The Bible says we need to know how to possess it. To take and say, this new man that God has placed in my heart, this new creation that he has done in me, is mine. I'm to take it and to possess it, to use it. Now, let's say you get your favorite car given to you. Brand new. I mean, the best car you can imagine. Now, what are you going to do with it? Oh, we're going to build the most secure garage possible. In fact, it's so secure there's not even a garage door. So that not only I can't take it out, but if somebody broke in, they'd have to tear the building down to get this out. Is that what you'd do with it? Not most people. I did run across a guy. I didn't meet him personally, but I met a guy recently who does something like that. And I just got to scratch my head. Of course, he does it for tax write-offs. But that's not what most of us would think of with a brand new expensive car if you were given it. Somebody gives you your dream house. You're going to put the best possible security system on it and just drive by every now and then and look at it, right? No, you're going to possess it. You're going to move in. You're going to make it yours and use it. Why do we think the new man is any different? Why do we think that it's something that, I've got a relationship with Jesus, and that sentence is about as far as it goes. When the Bible says we're to possess it, to make it ours, to make it a viable part of our life. And that possession in itself denotes that honor is given to it. Now, first of all, to do this, we must recognize the new man is not the natural man. Our new man is not our natural man. We're still in our natural body, and we're given the new man in our hearts. The new man is to take over. The Bible tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we're to be ruled by the new man. But we still battle with our natural man until the grave or until the rapture. And turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the first step in winning this battle and honoring our new man is to recognize that the new man is not our natural man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a replacement. Old things are passed away. All things become new. The new man that God gives us is not the natural man. Now, we have the battle where the natural man wants to... We want that self-esteem, that self-worth, that those things that the world talks about and makes look so wonderful. We want the fame, we want the accomplishments, the success. We want the pat on the back by everybody who walks by. And sometimes we can want those things with Christian intentions. Oh, I want to be the best Christian. That way everybody in church looks up to me. Now, see, that's where we've taken a new man idea and we've put the natural man in its place. We want to be a great Christian so everybody in church looks at me. Yeah. We're supposed to be a good Christian because the word Christian means little Christ. We're supposed to be a good Christian because we're told that Jesus left an example that we should follow in His steps. We're supposed to be a good Christian because the Bible says we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not so other people give us a pat on the back. That's great. That's nice. Feels good. But that's not what it's about. And the new man desires to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from the master, not from the neighbor. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We will never honor our new man. We will never truly know the power of the new man if we do not first and continually recognize that our new man is not the natural man. Now, I know the last couple of weeks we've got away from our three-point explanation of honor, but we're going to get back to it this week. And anybody remember what the first one is? I've given you a three-week break to pick your brains now. What's the first one? We're to give place. Excellent. Thank you. To give place. To give place. We're to give our new man place in our lives. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? That's giving place, isn't it? It's taking knowledge that your body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost, and ye are not your own. This new man that abides within this body has a place, and it should be forefront in our lives, in our choices, in our decisions, in every area of our lives. We're to know it. It says, "Know ye not?" We're to take knowledge of this. We're to regard it. You can't know something if you don't have some regard for it, if you don't take a moment and put some attention in that direction. We're to regard our new man. We are to cause it to be a governing factor in our life. Now, this gets a little bit difficult because of that battle between the new man and the natural man. It is the Holy Spirit that gives the new man the power to control our life, not us. Now, that's hard for us to understand. And so often when we're studying how to give the new man control in our life, we think about all these things that we can do. And they're necessary things. They are things that we ought to do. But we need to remember that we do them through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do them by submitting to Him, by asking for His aid, by asking for His conquering through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because our natural man is deceptive. The heart is deceitful, right? Above all things. Excuse me. We need to be careful that we're not coming into it with a works idea, but that we're working out our salvation with fear, understanding that God accomplishes the work as we give it over to Him. So we're to give it place in our life. That's taking note of it and making sure that it is, as I said, the governing factor in our life. That the Holy Spirit has sway in our decisions. Then we're to give thought. Give thought. Now, the Scripture has countless references of this fact, that we're to think about what God has done in our hearts. The reason I say countless, it really is so. You'd have to do some serious study to actually come up with a number of verses. You can do a word search on some of the key words and come up with, well, there's 69 verses that say this, and 50 that say this, and 110 that say... But all the verses that refer to thinking about what God is doing in our hearts, there's so many different ways the Scripture says it, it would probably take you months, if not years, to list every single one. Unless you're a lot smarter and faster than me. But let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We're to be giving thought about what God has done in our life, about the place our new man belongs. Our new man doesn't belong down here, does he? Our new man doesn't have a place in what's to come for this world. Our new man has a place with the Lord Jesus Christ at the feet of His throne. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There must be an active work of the Spirit in our minds. That is what conforms. That is what gives place to the new man. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Our mind is the seat of our thoughts. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We look back in verse 1 and realize that it is the Holy Spirit, it is the mercy of God that renews our mind. But also in verse 1 it says we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Our mind is part of our body. If we don't give that as sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, the work is not done. The renewing is not done. It must take place in our mind that we be renewed by the Holy Spirit to understand the new man is who we now are. And we must honor that for the sake of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. In chapter 12. And verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. See, the prerequisite of serving Him in truth and fearing Him is consideration, giving thought to how great of things He hath done for you. It doesn't take much to stop and think about what God has done in your life to make you want to serve Him, to make you want to please Him, to affect your decisions in that direction. But so often we're faced with a decision and we feel, I got to do this right now. I got to know what I need to do right now. And we forget to stop and think, what does God want because of what He has already done for me? Is that a deciding factor? Is that a swaying factor in your decisions? Stopping and considering, what has God done in my life that may affect this situation? What does the Bible say He promises to do in my life that may affect this situation? You see, that takes some time to think about. And often in our rush, we don't take that time. We're to give thought. And that is a great honor to our new man and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, what's the third one, anyone? Another pop quiz here. Give praise. Give praise. Giving place is important. Giving thought is important. But if you keep these things to yourself, you will quickly fall away. It doesn't remain in a place of power. It doesn't remain in the forefront of your own mind because you get distracted easily. And it is of little use to others if you do not share what is happening, what place honor the new man has in your life. As we looked at with the other areas of honor, if you don't share with others what God has done for you, or who God is and what He does all around us all the time, then we're not truly honoring God, are we? It's like your best friend. The fact that you've made them your best friend, you've given them honor. Now, your best friend, do you tell other people about them? My buddy so-and-so, they would do this in this situation. You're giving them honor, and in that you're giving them praise. That's an integral part of honor. How often do you share with others, lost and saved alike, how your new man is doing? It's a good question. How often do you share with others, lost and saved alike, how your new man is doing? What it's like having the new creation in you? You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to share the gospel. And people say, well, share the account of how you got saved. Yes, that's great. How about take it a step further and share how the Holy Spirit creating and continuing the new creation in you has made some changes in your life. And if there isn't the changes, you need to start back at square one of honoring this new man. We need to give the new man praise. That is, and ultimately this is praise for God, because the new man is a work of God. Psalm 145, I believe, is one of the best descriptions of doing just this. Psalm 145, and we'll read the entire psalm. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness, of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. God's greatest work is the new creation. He sent his Son to pay the price for our redemption. He sent his Son to be the first fruits of this new creation, the firstborn, to redeem mankind unto himself. And this psalm speaks so fully and wonderfully of this. It says specifically, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Who are the saints but those who should and do know best the works of God? They're to extol his name. They're to be giving praise for the work of God in their life. It says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. To be telling others what God is doing in you. And the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. What is our new man but our position, our new life in Christ, our position in the kingdom, our position in the new heaven and new earth, our position as a child of God? And we're to be telling others. We're to be telling others that the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Have you felt his upholding hand when you fall? Physically, spiritually, mentally? You've fallen, you're in the mire, the muck, just everything's wrong, as the psalmist so adeptly says many times. And you seek the Lord and you feel his hand draw you up. Can you share that with others? It says, and raiseth all those that be bowed down under the weight of life. And again, he lifts you above that weight and gives you the joy everlasting, the hope that's beyond understanding. Can you share that with those around you? The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Can you share with others about answered prayer? About growth, about feasting at the table of the Lord as you look upon him and he shows you the treasures of his word and the treasures of this new life? Can you share that with others? Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Can you share the fact that it's available not just for you, not just for the select few, not just for the elect, those that God says, Bing, you're saved. But that it's available to every living creature. All who will come unto me, I will give rest. That can you share that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works? When someone comes and says, why did God do this? How could God allow this? Can you share from experience that the Lord is righteous? Doesn't matter what we think about the situation. Because that's where our natural man comes in and says, But the Lord is righteous and He sees beyond the years. He sees beyond the moment. He is the Alpha and the Omega and He is the perfect God. He is holy in all His ways and therefore He must be righteous. Can you share this? Can you share that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him? Maybe we don't understand the situation. Maybe we don't have a good answer for somebody who's bringing a situation to us. But can you share that the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him? Say, I don't have an answer for you. But you know what? God does. Call on Him. Because of this, God, I called upon God here and He showed me this because I have the new creation in my heart. I called upon God in this situation and hey, He showed me this. And He gave me a feast here as we read a few verses before. Can you share this when somebody brings you that unanswerable question? How can you say God is righteous? Have you called on Him? Because I called on Him when I felt He wasn't righteous. The question, my friend, is did you? When you felt God wasn't being righteous, did you call on Him? Because He's there for you too. And we of all people ought to know that. When we call on Him for salvation, that was the first step. Or ought to be the first step on calling on Him for the remainder of our lives. Every moment, every day. Can we share that the Lord preserveth all them that love Him? Can we share that the wicked He will destroy? Can we say with the psalmist, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. My mouth shall say, let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. You know, this verse is truly a wonderful verse to close the series on. It really wraps up so much of it. As we've looked, every single point of honor has something to do with our relationship with God. And I believe that is why the Bible talks so much about honor. If we don't learn honor in our daily lives, in all these areas, we will not be honoring God, either in some area or maybe not at all. But as this verse says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever. When we're tempted to tear down our brother, are we encouraging them to bless His name? When we are tempted to tear down the actions of the lost around us. Sure, there's sin. Sure, they need to be pointed out and corrected. But when we're tempted to just tear down, are we sharing with them that all flesh has a command to bless the name of our Creator? Not really. When we tear down the aged, or when we tear down our parents, when we tear down any of these things that the Bible says to give honor to, we are doing the exact opposite of this verse. My mouth shall speak, let all flesh bless His name forever and ever. Honoring our new man is also an integral part of all the rest of the honor. If we haven't given place to the new creation that God put in you, then we'll have a hard time learning to honor others, to honor God Himself. One of the key understandings of honoring the new man is to understand this, that we are created in the image of His Son. The new man is God's likeness renewed in us. Man was created after the image of God. We fell with sin. But when one comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, believing on Him, repenting of their sins, that image is renewed. And because it is the image of Christ in you, if for no other reason, that alone causes it to deserve a place of honor in your life. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand that the new man is not the natural man, that the new man is the reflection, a creation by You in our lives that is a perfect reflection of You through the Holy Spirit, and that its power is available to us to conform us to the image of Your Son. Father, help us to understand these things and help us to apply them to our lives, that we might be an honorable people called out from among this world, living separate, that others may see Your glory, and that by the speech of our mouths, all flesh might be convicted of their need to glorify You. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.